Show, Phil Hendry.
Okay, welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. What is that, bud?
Get down and late.
This is the concert.
Hold on. The Phil Hendry Show here, and what are you doing?
It's the concert for Sandy Relief, Phil.
Yeah, get him.
Yeah, look at that. See how Pete did it. Yeah, that's fine. The Phil Hendry Show. Will you turn that down, man? I can't do the show with that up.
Well, oh, God, look at this.
Yeah, see, years ago, when I started with this business, it really was important to me.
Give me that thing, man. Give me this.
What in the name of God did you just do?
Turned the TV down because I'm on the air.
Oh,
sorry, Mr. Henry. You didn't know. I was enjoying P. Diddley.
Yeah.
P. Diddley, huh?
Yeah. I mean P. Diddy.
Yeah, I mean P. Diddy.
Well, who was P. Diddley?
There wasn't any P. Diddley. There was no P. Diddley.
Well, I'm here to tell you there was, because I heard the song, You Can't Judge a Book by Its Cover. That's...
Yeah, that was P. Diddley.
That was Bo Diddley.
Oh, that's right, Bo.
Who was P. Diddley? Anyway, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and that little moment there, that little bit of cultural commercial moment there, brought to you by Margaret Gray and myself and Bud and Robert, just goes to show you that we may think the name P. Diddy is weird, but then again, we all listen to Bo Diddley, so what's the difference, huh? What the heck's the difference, as National Lampoon once said, with the head blowed off? Now then.
What in the name of God?
What's that mean, Mr. Henry?
It was a National Lampoon bit about the Woodstock concert that they took lemmings and replaced people and they were lemmings, okay? You never heard lemmings?
No, man. I know. A lemming, they jump off a cliff.
Yes, that's the animal that jumps off the cliff.
Well, Lampoon did a bit once where it was the lemmings jumping off the cliff was like Woodstock for lemmings. That's what they did. They all got together.
And instead of listening to uplifting music, they killed themselves. Is this supposed to be funny?
I don't understand the humor end of that.
It was hysterically funny. And if you don't understand the humor end of it, Bud, or the humor end of it, Bud...
You said the humor end of it.
I know what I said. If you don't understand the humor end of it, Bud, then that shows that you're humor impaired. You are inevitably unentertainable. You can't be helped. But I'm telling you, it was the funniest thing I ever heard. The lemmings are jumping off the cliff, and they had the guy get up, and he said on the concert stage, he goes, you know, we're all here together, and we're all this and that, all this love stuff like they had at Woodstock. And he says, and I say, your brother is your brother. What the heck's the difference with the head blowed off, meaning they were all going to commit suicide later on?
Oh, well, that's just...
Yeah, that's funny, all right.
That is hysterically funny, not...
Well, like I said, you guys are humor impaired.
I'm humor impaired. I sit here night after night staring you up and down, trying to give some credibility, trying to give some life to this program, trying to help you, and I'm humor impaired.
Yes, if you can't figure out what's funny about the lemmings, then you're humor impaired. There's some people that think duct tape is funny. I don't. I don't find it funny. I find that people who think duct tape is funny are not laughing at the same things that I laugh at. Now, lemmings, they're funny. To me.
So that... excuse me, can I get some water, please?
Yes, ma'am.
And also, just a little bit of lemon in it, please.
Yes, ma'am.
And, I'm sorry, Phil. Robert?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you heat that up? I'd like it warm. A little bit of lemon.
Well, you got some honeys underneath the... in a sink.
Do you want honey?
Yes, squeeze a little bit of honey into it for me, okay?
All right. So you were saying...
Just hold on, Phil. Robert, my cup is in my purse.
You come on, Margaret. What do you want to say?
All I'm saying, Phil, is that you find lemmings funny. You find lemmings funny. People find duct tape funny. They find duct tape funny. What I find amusing is you looking at you and the fact that you're able to survive the way you do, the fact that you're able to eke a living out of this the way you do, the fact that night after night you come on the air and basically mock... Excuse me for a moment. I need more water, please.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, do you want some honey?
Will you guys knock it off with the, do you want some honey? She needs some water. Just get some hot water for Ms. Gray, and we will continue.
Phil, I can't...
All right, let me do the talking then, okay? I understand what you're saying. How do I do it night after night? I don't know. I don't understand it myself either, but I have a lot of fun doing it. Is that good enough?
I'm just saying, I don't understand how it is. You sit here and mock, openly lambaste, and openly, if you want to put a word to it, you rape the entire talk radio format, and no one has taken you to task for it.
Maybe they don't care. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, you gotta get more, even more bad about it then.
Yeah, I think you need to take it all the way to the edge, man. Just like a lemming. What is your what's a man you admire?
Yeah, that's it. Who's the man you admire the most? The lemming.
Well, a lemming's not a man.
I was gonna say the man that I admire the most.
Who's the man you admire? The lemming.
Yeah, don't you? Isn't that a lemming?
I admire the lemming the most as a man.
What did you just talk about?
I was talking about lemmings.
Yeah, and what do the lemming do?
Lemming takes it to the edge, Phil.
It does. It takes it right up to the edge.
And then jumps off. That's what you clowns are not working into. You're not factoring that into the equation. The lemming does take it to the edge and then goes, goodbye, bonsai, and over the edge.
Why'd you hold your nose?
That's what people do when they jump into water.
But they ain't jumping into water. Sorry.
So, sure, I'll take it right up to the edge, but that is the challenge. When you take things up to the edge in life, you could very well fall off.
Well, Phil, that is spoken like a real chicken heart, because that's not what the people in this world do that have made the changes, the big changes in this world. They walk right up to the edge, and whether they're going to fall off or not, that be damned, they're going to do it.
That's great, Miss Gray.
Thank you.
Pardon me, let me clear your throat.
Thank you.
All right, well, that's I am dutifully chastised and reminded of my duty as a man. It is probably all of our duties. It's probably all of our duties as human beings. Because, as you know, as the saying has gone, there comes a time when you must seize events at the flood. What does that mean?
Oh.
It means that there is a moment in everyone's life when everything comes together. When everything comes together, all of the stuff that you're able to do, all of the challenges that life could possibly throw your way, that the things you know how to do can deal with, all of the events that can turn your life from one of, as Thoreau told us, quiet desperation into one of heroic growth and success, there comes a time for every one of us.
Seizing events at the flood, that's not a very good thing to be talking about on the day of, Robert?
Sandy relief.
Yay! Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Will you get out of here? Sandy relief.
Well, we were talking about seizing events at the flood. They did, and it didn't turn out too good.
I'm not talking about a hurricane. I'm talking about the great... That's the thing, the guy, the, never mind. No, but in any event, Sandy Relief, God bless you guys that are out there, and I didn't mean to use the word flood, now I feel really bad.
Yeah, you ought to, Mr. Henry, that's a bad case.
No, it wasn't. Now, there comes a time when we all must do what we all gotta do, you know, that's what Winston Churchill reminded us of, that's what Henry Thoreau reminded us of, that is what the great thinkers will always say to you. You know, there comes a time when you've got to step into the abyss. You have to take that step into the darkness, and when you do, then you will be a man, my son.
That was Rudyard Kipling.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same guy, you know. And so there you go. All right.
I don't know what that means, but it scares the hell out of me.
It just means, bud, that the time will come for you, too. You know, if you want to talk about it, 9/11, the United 93. Remember you guys were watching that movie the other day?
Yeah.
All right. Those people on that airplane got on that airplane that morning. What were they going to do? They were going to go to see their families. They were going to go to work. They were going to sit down and be on their laptops. They were going to, you know, watch a movie. They were going to sit and daydream. They were going to have their little, you know, in-flight meal. And then they were going to have their snack. And they were going to get off the plane. And they were going to go about their days. And they wouldn't have gotten to know each other. Maybe they'd say a word, maybe not. Maybe, hey, how you doing? Excuse me, let me get my bag. And that's about as much as it would have transpired on that aircraft. A day like any other day. And yet, on that day, history had something else in mind. On that day, fate reached out and touched each one of those people and said, we got something else for you to do. You aren't going to come back from it. But this will be a moment that will ensure the lives of others. You, if you choose to accept this mission, because they could have just sat there and allowed that plane to be crashed into the, you know.
They were going to crash into the Capitol.
That, I heard about the White House.
Whatever, you know.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be something. They could have sat there and just been petrified and scared and not, you know, risen to the challenge. But they didn't. And history was made. They lost their lives. They were going to lose their lives anyway, but they, in so losing their lives, they saved the lives of others. And they were, more to the point, an example that will last for years and years and years. Those people are an example to the rest of us of what happens to normal people in extraordinary circumstances. Normal people thrown into an existential hell, and they come out of it
smelling like a rose.
If you will, Bud, yes.
Yeah, my buddy's the same, man. I can fall into a pile of cow dung this deep and come out smelling like lilac.
Your father said that?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of know what he meant by that. All right, let's take a break.
I don't want to smell your dad.
Well, you don't want to smell him now.
Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Let's get into the news. Courtney Love had a problem with Paul McCartney jamming with Nirvana at the Sandy Relief Concert and other such news ahead. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage
truth
pass.
Watch is our video bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Sold, America.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Joining us online on our newsmaker line, I should say, from Temple City, California, is Jeff Dowder, who spent some time today watching the concert, the Sandy Relief concert. And there was a couple of stories, I think, that emerged from the concert today, other than the fact that the obvious fact, Jeff, that there was some much-needed money raised and help and support for people affected by this terrible, terrible storm. But the story about Courtney Love, quote-unquote, against Paul McCartney in Nirvana?
That was something that sort of came out of the blue, and I think a few of us seen that, and got to say that in a way I understand what she's talking about, because Paul McCartney is not really representative of the sort of music that, you know, Kurt Cobain and Nirvana have done, and I'm a very, very huge Nirvana fan, and I know their music backwards and forwards, and I'm very, very proud to say that, you know, I've been to a lot of their concerts, went to probably most of them.
You went to most of Nirvana's shows, huh?
Well, I probably have seen most of them, yeah. And so I feel like I know that band backwards, forwards, back, up and down, everything else. I'm looking at a replay, by the way, Phil, of the concert, and the guy that's on Boardwalk who looks ugly,
yeah,
is on right now. I just thought I'd let you know that. But
the guy who's on Boardwalk that looks ugly.
Are you talking about Steve Buscemi?
What?
Are you talking about Steve Buscemi?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Steve Buscemi. I'm looking at him right now. All right, so let's get back to Nirvana.
Yeah, well, so anyway, Paul McCartney was going to be... Now, I'm not sure whether he did or not, because, you know, I in keeping with the wishes of Courtney Love and my great love for the music of Nirvana, I refuse. It wasn't that I don't like Paul McCartney. I do like Paul McCartney, but I also like Nirvana, and I just decided I didn't want to look at it for fear of what I would feel. Would it split my feelings? Would I become more of a Paul McCartney fan, or would I become more of a Nirvana fan? I just
Isn't this a little silly, though?
Why?
This is a benefit concert. This has got nothing to do with anything other than people, musicians getting together and trying to raise money for people affected by this terrible storm, this calamity. And so, who cares?
Who cares? But would you want to see somebody come out on the stage and, you know, you say who cares, but would you want to...
In other words, if McCartney's out there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, so what? He's not a member of Nirvana.
Well, they call it a reunion, and I mean, would you want to see someone go out on the stage and I don't want to put it like this, but and you know, pull her pants down and go on the stage?
No, of course I wouldn't.
Mike, that is not the point here. The point is that Paul McCartney is one of the reigning superstars of music. And the men in Nirvana should have been proud.
Well, I think they were. I think it was Courtney Love.
Well, there's no way of knowing, really. We'll never really know how Nirvana felt or how Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic and the rest of them felt about it. We'll never really know. And
what do you mean we'll never really know?
Well, you don't really know how they feel about it.
Well, they're on stage playing with a guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was going to be on stage with the members of Nirvana. Yes, you're right about that. And this was the first time that they were going to be playing together in a long time. Okay?
Yeah.
But McCartney comes out there, and that's a completely different thing that's going on. And you don't really know, and I don't think any of us will ever really know. Wait.
What do you mean none of us will ever really know? What are you talking about, man?
About how the
Nirvana feel about it.
Yeah, about how Nirvana feels about it. Are we ever really going to know?
Yes, we're going to know, because you can ask them.
Yeah, well, sure, you're going to ask them, but they're not going to be that forthcoming, Mr. Henry, I don't think. When you're talking, just as Ms. Gray said, about the number one guy in music.
Well, no, I'm not saying that Paul McCartney is so imposing a figure that you can't say to him, I'd rather not have you on stage with me. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that Paul McCartney is a reigning giant of popular music.
Well, you know, when you put it that way, how many people are going to say no to that? And how many people are...
Look at, man, you know, let's read this story here together. You got here Courtney Love. Courtney Love is reportedly not amused, quote-unquote, not amused at Paul McCartney jamming with the surviving members of Nirvana. The Beatles musician taking the stage, will take the stage. This is before the event. The stage with former Nirvana drummer Dave Grohl, who's now a member of the Foo Fighters, and bassist Chris Novoselic at the 12-12-12 Hurricane Sandy benefit concert at Madison Square Garden. Love was married to the band's frontman, Kurt Cobain, and she talked to the TMZ website, said she was not amused. She said, look, if John Lennon were alive, it would be cool.
Yeah, well, see, I think I agree with that.
Why?
I think John Lennon is far cooler in perception... than Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney is seen more as, you know, a pop star. John Lennon was more of the rock star, you know.
Well, I think that John Lennon has bohemian credentials that Paul McCartney doesn't have. Paul McCartney seems to be very, very, what is the word? Paul McCartney seems to be very middle class.
Yeah, I see right now I'm looking at a replay on there, and I'm looking at the Who... of Pete Townsend, who's got to be 80 now, I think.
He ain't that old.
Well, how old is Roger Daltrey?
Those cats are, you know, they're up there, man, you know.
Yeah, and they got a bass player and they got a drummer, and both these guys look like they're still probably in high school. So what is that about, you know? And that's why I'm saying...
You know what, Jeff, I don't know what your point is here. You're saying that Paul McCartney shouldn't be on stage with Nirvana because they're too young, or he's too old?
No, it's a perception, as I'm trying to say, is a perception of it. And again, how are we ever going to know what... Am I supposed to hang up now?
you can hang up or not. Why don't you hang on? We'll talk a little bit more with you, okay?
What?
Why don't you hang on and we'll talk a little bit more?
Can you hear? I don't think he can hear.
What?
Hang on and we'll talk some more with you.
I can't hear you. I'll go ahead and hang on, but...
Fine. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here on this Wednesday night. Wow.
What?
Phil Hendry.
Speak up.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And before we go any further in this evening's proceedings, I just would like to remind you that all this month at philhenryshow.com, we've got a little bit of a, well, you might say a special going. And what that means is, if you head on over to our website and you sign up for a backstage pass, we are giving you a freebie. We've got a little gift for you as a way of saying thank you for becoming a member of our Backstage Pass family. If you are signing up for one free month, if you're signing up for 1 month subscription, you will get one free download, a free CD download from our shop, Best of CD download. If you get a 6 month Backstage Pass, you will get three free Best of CD downloads from the shop. And if you get a 1 year, you will get five free CD downloads, Best of downloads from the shop. All of the audio and all of the downloads that we have on our radio website are all first generation, top quality audio. We have not only that, but we have our video cast, our video archives. We have a full year of our video and audio from the local Los Angeles show we did for a year on Saturday nights. We've got all kinds of miscellany, as we like to say. And, of course, we have our show logs that we're still working on. And in a couple of weeks, we are going to be available to you iPad and iPhone users live, meaning this show we're doing right now on video, you'll be able to watch us live mobile on your iPhone or your iPad, wherever you are. And I know there's a lot of my very dear friends out there who like to hang out at Starbucks late into the night, 2 o'clock in the morning maybe, scaring people. Well, guess what?
They can scare people now. Better see you live.
Exactly. Thank you, Bud, for that.
Scaring people. Is that what you said?
I'm joking. Come on, Margaret. In any event...
Yeah, Mark, you got to loosen up and understand what Mr. Emery's saying.
I don't need... I will... You know what? I don't need advice from the two of you. Thank you.
Great. So can I finish?
Yes.
Anyway, so get your backstage pass. Join the party here. It's weird. It's sometimes psychotic. It's very dysfunctional. Our Backstage Pass family is very weird and dysfunctional. They log in at night in the comments section. We have some amazing people there. I mean, I didn't say they were bad people. They're just really weird people. But then again, so am I. So join us at philhendryshow.com and be a part of, well, quite frankly, quite humbly, the greatest radio show that's ever been. Bud, on you. Cut. All right. Jeff Dotter joining us from Temple City tonight. All right. We were talking about, Jeff, and I'd like to get back to talking about the concert for Sandy Relief today, Madison Square Garden. The comments made by Courtney Love that she was against or otherwise was nonplussed or did not like Paul McCartney being a part of this show.
Let me just read you what I have here, and this is a news report that I got, and my sources are telling me. And, I've been doing this kind of thing for a long time. I'm not only a musician, as you know, but I'm also, a journalist, and I've been covering rock shows and the different events and the different things. And you were talking about the Lemmings concert, which that one I missed.
Well, it wasn't a concert.
The Lemmings concert you were talking about.
It wasn't a concert.
Jeff, it was not a concert. It was a National Lampoon comedy bit.
It was a National Lampoon comedy bit, okay. What were you talking about?
I was talking about a satire that the National Lampoon did on Woodstock, in which instead of having a Woodstock concert, it was a bunch of lemmings getting together, and they were going to jump off a cliff into the ocean. Obviously, a very, if you will, a sharp-pointed critique of the mass consciousness of a Woodstock, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I'd say it's a pretty big slam on Woodstock. I mean, what's that about? You know, well, some people, it's been so long, and it was not part of my generation, but I will tell you this, as someone who looks at an event like Woodstock as a seminal event, and I like to say the word seminal. Can I just say why I like to say the word seminal, Mr. Henry?
Okay.
Because seminal comes from the word, well, I better not say it.
Oh, God, would you grow up? I'm going to leave the room.
Why did you want to say that?
Because it's the one time you're allowed to... Never mind.
Yeah, never mind is right. Go ahead.
So, I mean, I'm sorry if...
I'm going to leave the room, Jeff, if I hear any more of that.
Just go ahead.
But can I say it was a seminal event?
Yes, you can say it was a seminal event.
You can say it was a seminal event like Indian.
Yeah, that I could do that.
What do you mean you could say it like an Indian?
Well, you could say it like it was a seminal event.
Like what? Like it was at Florida State?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. It was in upstate New York. Are these people real, or am I dreaming? What is going on?
Would you two guys be quiet, okay?
Yeah, we're not trying to do anything bad.
What? No, you're not trying to do anything bad. You're just idiots. What do you mean a seminal event?
They're talking about an Indian.
I know that. And I also know what seminal means, and I also know that we got sidetracked again because you clowns always want to just... Yeah, it's like working with a bunch of, excuse me for saying this, it's like working with a bunch of autistic kids. You guys cannot stay on track, man. You're all over the place.
Well, if you were working with a lot of autistic children, they'd all be sitting around with their mouths open, and you and I'd be the only ones talking.
Yeah, that probably, Ms. Gray has something. What are you doing, Mr. Andrew? I see you standing up in your video cast.
None of your business.
He was straightening up.
Shut up.
Well, you know...
Let's just start all over again. So Woodstock, a seminal event, was very harshly criticized by National Lampoon. Fine. Let's move past that. Let's get to today's concert. Paul McCartney, Courtney Love. She had a problem. What's her problem? You seem to understand.
I'm sorry. I got nervous.
All right. Take a deep breath.
Okay, I think what she was saying was basically this, Mr. Henry, that Nirvana is not Nirvana without Kurt Cobain. And for anybody to replace Kurt Cobain in Nirvana, hold on. For anybody...
What are you doing?
He's just taking a deep breath.
He's just catching his breath.
Yeah.
Are you nervous? That
yes, I told you.
All right, it sounds to me like you probably ought to have a chest x-ray or something.
Why?
Because it sounds like you're wheezing there, man. Do you smoke?
I do smoke. I smoke a sacred smoke. I don't smoke tobacco, if that's what you mean.
Oh, okay. You smoke marijuana?
I do smoke a sacred bud.
Okay, well, whatever.
He smokes the bud that's sacred. You don't just smoke weed.
Now, I know a lot of people smoke weed, but that's not what he does.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. I would still get a chest x-ray.
Well, I mean, I smoke bud in a sacred way, so I think you're probably, you know, mistaken.
Do you smoke it?
Yes, sir.
Then it's going into your lungs, and it could be affecting your lungs, and you should have a chest x-ray.
Maybe you didn't hear me, Mr. Harry.
No, you're not hearing me, Jeff, and I'm not going to talk about this anymore. If you're smoking marijuana, whether you do it for sacred reasons, you know...
I spoke donkey D word. I can't use the word as the sacred entity.
Donkey D word?
I think it is a foul and obscene word for a man's anatomy.
Yeah, and that's what they call the butt, donkey blank.
Well, that's really great, man. So you do this for religious purposes, huh?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, so you want to make sure that we all know that you smoke for religious purposes... Donkey D word.
Well, you can't judge a man. That's what they call it.
Yeah, well, the people that grow the bud, they won't put the name on it.
Yeah, and I just find that it's very good for the sacredness of it, you know.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, I mean, Mr. Ernie, you're being very dismissive and everything, and I don't think it's right, and you know.
All right, I apologize. I apologize for everything, Jeff. I just want to get back to our point here. Now, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney, I think, you know, I think when Paul McCartney walks on a stage and picks up a guitar, are you going to say no to him? No. Am I going to say no to him? No. As is.
Yeah, but Dave Grohl can say no to him, yes. And Chris Novoselic can say no to him, yes, because they were the guys that were in that band.
No, they can't, man, because look, are you kidding? Just because they were in Nirvana, Paul McCartney was in the Beatles, man. The Beatles. You understand what that's about and everything?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, I mean, Nirvana's good, man. I'm not saying that they're... I love Nirvana, but McCartney's going to throw his weight around... Because when he walks onto a stage, all bets are off. And he's going to say, yeah, I guess the big boy on the block's in town now, so everybody else just, you know, slink off the stage. Are you going to try and tell a Beatle what, you know?
Yes, if it's my band and I don't want him to play, I would be very, very respectful and I would be extremely skillful, if you will, in how I worded it. But I would try to say...
Well, all right, this is a good... How would you say that?
Yeah, pretend I'm Paul McCartney and you say it to me.
Pretend you're Paul... Okay. You know, how you doing, Sir Paul?
Right, I'm doing pretty good.
You don't have to do the accent, all right?
I'm just trying to get into it, that's all.
Well, sir, I wanted to talk with you about something.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk to you, sir, about our performance this evening... the performance I'm going to have with Chris, and we're going to be doing some Nirvana songs.
Right. I'm going to be on stage. I've decided I'm going to be on stage with you, okay? So...
Well, sir, can we talk about that?
I don't have a lot of time. I got to go and I got to go take a... You know, whatever he's going to do. I mean, I got to go take a dump or something. And
yeah, I'm sure he's going to say that, man.
Well, whatever he's got to do, I got to go have dinner. I don't have a lot of time.
I know you don't have a lot of time, sir. Maybe we could talk after dinner?
Well, then we're going to go on stage and do the concert. Okay, jolly old Pip-Pip, I'll see you, you know, cheerio or whatever they say, and I'll see you at the concert, man. You got no shot, man. You got no shot.
Yes, I would. Number one, I would say, sir, I think this concert tonight will go better if it's just me and my bandmate in honor of Kurt. You know, I think you are phenomenal. Can we schedule a time later in the show with the producers where we could all, you know...
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying that I suck? Is that what you're saying, that I suck? Are you trying to say the Beatles suck, man? Because guess what? Your band, Nirvana, ain't nothing compared to the Beatles, man. It ain't squat compared to the Beatles, okay? I'm a Beatle, man. You understand? You're not even... There's no singular for... What are you, a Nirvana? No, you're a Nirvana member. That ain't nowhere near as cool. So, cheers. You know how the British tell you to F off? They say cheers. Anytime you hear a British guy say cheers, he's telling you to pound it sideways, up left, and maybe get some blood.
All right, I got to take a break. I understand your point.
Yeah, okay, but you're going to start talking bad about me, and I'm just trying to say... This is how it is, Mr. Harry.
I understand. I'll talk it over here with Margaret, and appreciate it very much, Jeff.
All right, Mr. Harry, and thank you. It's Jeff Dowd reporting of Sandy Relief and the concert.
Okay, we had to just...
Yeah, I understand.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, we'll be back. I'll kick this around more with my bandmates. Pip, pip, cheerio, and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, I mean, he was making a point. How do you say no to a Beatle?
No. That's how you say no. Oh, God. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Can you promote the Church of the Sacred Bud that I'm going to...
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Now, what have you found, bud?
Dad, got a couple of them here.
I don't think there's any concert stuff. Is there Billy Joel and... that's the football game. Why don't you take that football game off, man, before I flip my lid?
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen and Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, and the E Street Band, and a star-studded cast united in a determined show of support for the victims of Superstorm Sandy Friday night, focusing on themes of rebuilding and standing strong. The benefit, Hurricane Sandy Coming Together, held at Rockefeller Center in Manhattan, raised funds for the American Red Cross to be used in area relief efforts. It was broadcast on NBC and its affiliated cable channels. There you go. So
NBC had the broadcast rights and affiliated cable channels. What does that mean?
It means that whatever cable channels NBC owns, they're the guys that had the rights. I don't know. Nonetheless, that was the gist of that. Larry Grover is going to join us here. What I had hoped to find is some, I wanted to find some music from the concert, but I guess that's not forthcoming right now.
I've been looking all over online to try to find it, but I'm afraid about a copyright infringement and everything.
Well, that's a good point. Larry Grover joining us from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, good to have you join us. How are you?
I'm about as good as I could be, Phil. You know, given what's been going on here on the this particular day, you know, my heart goes out to the people who survived the Sandy. Not survived the concert, but the people that went through the Sandy hurricane. What I'm looking at here, and I think a lot of people in your audience tonight are going to agree with me, because thank God we have the bastion of talk radio. Thank God that talk radio exists as the last bastion of truth and of the, if you forgive me for saying this, the conservative point of view.
Well, that, not if some of us have anything to say about that, Larry.
I understand that, Ms. Gray. I understand that perhaps you would like to pollute the airwaves with your big government message.
No, I'm not looking to pollute the airwaves.
But I'd like to finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
What I want to say is this. If you want to have a concert for hurricane relief, what about Katrina? Everybody was telling George Bush and the Bush administration that they were nothing more than murdering genocidal maniacs. And now you got a concert for people that are still, they're hurting from this Hurricane Sandy, but nobody is saying about Obama, hey, looks like you dropped the ball. There's a whole lot of people here that are...
This is, you know something, excuse me, I need some water with...
Wait, I'm not finished.
I understand. I'm just asking for some water and some lemon, please.
Yes, ma'am. You still want the honey?
I want honey with it, too.
Yeah, can I finish?
Go ahead.
Hold on. I want some honey. I want lemon. I want hot water.
Holy God.
You got a problem there, Larry?
Yeah, I've got a problem. I'm trying to get something said here.
Margaret, are you done?
No, I'm not done. I'd like hot water. Can you butter me a piece of toast?
Just go out and get her the water.
I want a buttered piece of toast.
Yeah, well, you know, Ms. Gray, you tee them up, and I'll go ahead and hit them out. I'll bet you want something buttered.
That does it. I'm...
Well, now, wait a minute.
No, I'm not going to listen to this.
She's leaving.
Well, that just goes and shows... It goes to show you what liberals...
No, Larry, that was uncalled for, that comment.
What?
I bet you'd like something buttered.
Well, she asked for a buttered piece of something. I didn't...
Toast!
I asked for buttered toast. And all you could do is make fun of that.
God, what do you got going on over there anyway, Henry? It sounds like a zoo of malformed people. Malformed adults.
Yeah, in many ways, that's what I've got going on here. A zoo of malformed adults. You're absolutely right. All right. Your point being that Hurricane Sandy looks to be as every bit the disaster that Hurricane Katrina was. Is that it?
No. Not every bit the disaster, but there's obviously a lot of people that are hurting. And they're having to have a benefit concert for them. I don't hear anyone accusing President Obama of trying to kill people, of a slow response, this and that.
Well, there wasn't the slow so-called response to this event that there was perceived to be with Katrina. Now, there are a lot of reasons for the Katrina so-called slow response. One of the reasons was the absolutely devastating nature of what happened to New Orleans. Nobody no one really, truly predicted that. And I think that one of the things we're guilty of in this world is that we all have this genius. We all become geniuses the next day. We're all, well, man, I know exactly how they should have played the game. I know exactly how that guy should have shot that basketball. I know exactly how the Army Corps of Engineers and this and the president and that. We're all brain surgeons. When it comes to Katrina or even 9/11, two unprecedented events, we're all especially brain surgeons when it comes to that stuff, because anybody could see that why, you know. So I think that the President Bush took a lot of unfair heat for that. I believe that the state of Louisiana, as well as the mayor of Louisiana, were very, very slow to react, given all of the other problems. Yeah, the levee was not well-maintained. Yeah, the levee was probably not built properly in the first place. Yeah, there were a lot of payoffs. Yeah, there was a lot of sloth and slovenly behavior by the representatives and so forth.
Are you giving a speech, or am I going to get to say anything? Because now I hear the music, and it's the end of the hour.
Well, Larry, if you're going to sit there and cry...
Well, all I was saying is I wanted to say something.
Hang on.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking with Larry Grover about the unfair treatment of President Bush as opposed to President Obama with Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, even though Sandy was a tropical storm and not a hurricane.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Phil Hendry.